International.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 1st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's tip off with Ike Diagu, the captain of Nigeria's men's national basketball team, nicknamed the Tigers. Diagu and the Tigers have officially booked their tickets to two big international tournaments this year. The Tigers will compete in the Olympic men's basketball tournament in Japan in late July. And then just a few weeks after the Olympics, Diagu and the Tigers will compete in the AfroBasket Continental Championship in Rwanda. This will be Ike Diagu's third Olympic appearance. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Diagu said he's optimistic the Tigers will play well at both the Tokyo Games and AfroBasket 2021.
Well, my take on the two tournaments that we have with the national team is I feel really good and really confident that we'll be able to do very well. We have a really good team coming back. Plus, we're going to have some new additions as always. So I'm excited to see what the group looks like. But we just want to build the momentum that we had from the World Championships and carry that into the Olympics. And then obviously our goal is to be champions in Africa. We know it's going to be a tough task. But, you know, I'm very encouraged by what I've seen, and we are looking forward to a successful AfroBasket.
It's like there are no more minnows in African basketball. Given the opposition by South Sudan in Tunisia, how are you preparing for the challenges for future tournaments?
Well, we know that when it comes to AfroBasket and African teams, anybody can be beaten at any time. We saw that happen in 2013 when we lost to Senegal, and also in 2017 when we lost to Congo. So we don't take any of these teams lightly. We know that every team is going to be coming at us because we are ranked the number one team in Africa. So we expect to get every team's best game, and we will definitely be prepared for the task. And the great thing about it is this time around, we will be able to have more practice time, which will better serve us in our games.
Are you in contact with teammates in the national team as you prepare for major championships?
And yes, I talk to my teammates all the time. We have a group chat and WhatsApp. So we literally talk to each other daily as they prepare for their respective championships with their clubs. So we are all excited about this summer ahead, the Olympics, and as well as AfroBasket 2021.
That's Ike Diagu, the captain of Nigeria's men's national basketball team. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye from Iran, where he recently signed with the professional club Chemador.
Sporty greetings. This is Ike Diagu, captain of the Nigerian men's national basketball team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Ike. And here are a few fun facts about Ike Diagu. In addition to Iran, Ike has also played professional basketball in Japan, China, Puerto Rico, and here in the United States. Ike's parents are from Nigeria, and they moved here to the USA more than 40 years ago. The 37-year-old Diagu was born in the U.S. city of Buffalo, New York, and Ike played his college basketball at Arizona State University before beginning his professional career. Turning to boxing, two-time Olympic champion Clarissa Shields of the USA is hoping to make history in her upcoming fight this Friday, March 5th, while raising the profile of women in the sport. Joining us once again with a feature preview is VOA's Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
World light middleweight champion Claressa Shields is aiming to make history as the first undisputed world champion in two weight divisions. But Shields is also in an ongoing battle outside the ring in the fight for equality in the sport. And she tells Reuters TV female boxers face a number of challenges, from equal pay to equal time in the ring.
I think the biggest thing up in women's boxing is people say, you know, women shouldn't get paid the same because we don't fight the same amount of time. But I wish people would realize that we didn't put those rules in place. The men did. So the men need to change those rules to where every world champion boxer, four women can fight 3 minutes, 12 rounds, and to where it becomes a mandatory thing, because then they'll know that we are fighting the same time. We are putting in the same amount of work.
Currently, women's world title fights are conducted over 10 two-minute rounds. And Shields says keeping fights shorter strengthens the argument that women should be paid less and dampens a female boxer's competitive edge.
There's no reason for us to be fighting 2 minutes. It's just not. It just affects women's boxing as a whole. You know, we don't have as many knockouts as the men because we don't have enough time to get the knockouts. And people judge our records off of that by saying, oh, you know, she's 10-0, she's two knockouts, but she's the greatest woman of all time. And it's like, well, hell, I'm fighting against very, very tough competition. Girls who are undefeated, girls who have knocked out 10 other girls, right? And I'm not supposed to be able to come in there and just knock them out. It's great competition. But they say, but it would be easier to get the knockouts if we just had more time. Like, we don't have enough time to pick our opponent apart for them to get tired. Like, you beat up a girl for two minutes, and she gets a minute to rest, and she's back.
Shields has gone round for round since she first entered the ring at age 11. Now 25, the Flint, Michigan native is the first American, male or female, to win back-to-back Olympic gold medals. She turned pro in 2016 and has an unblemished record of 10 wins, 2 via knockout. She holds a super middleweight title and has unified all 4 major belts in the middleweight division. And with 2 belts as a light middleweight, Shields will attempt to clinch 2 more when she faces Canada's undisputed IBF and WBA champion, Mariev Dekaire. And Shields says, as after the bout, she is ready to fight in rounds that last as long as the men's.
After this fight with me and Marie Eve Dekaire, I will be fighting 3-minute rounds, because I feel like that's a big jump, 20 minutes, 36 minutes, right, for a lot of other female fighters. But I feel like if we win the fight now and all the world champions start fighting 3 10-minute rounds, I feel like the women that's coming up, you know, once I'm done boxing, all they will have to do is say, we just want to fight 2 more rounds, and then it'll be equal.
The World Boxing Council told Reuters News that women's matches are shorter based on statistics that show female boxers are likely to suffer more concussions than men. But Shields argues protection should come from the referee, not the sport's governing bodies.
I'm not asking to be protected. I'm asking to be respected. And, you know, we all know what we're signing up for, so no need to try to protect the women if you're not going to protect the men. You know, like, protect the men from, you know, 12 three-minute rounds too, then, because they're getting knocked out, they're getting hurt, they're actually dying. You know, some guys are dying, you know, in the boxing ring. But we all signed up for that, you know, so no need to make the women feel little because you guys are trying to put extra protection on us. It's like, this is what we signed up for, and no disrespect to anybody who believe in those rules, but we didn't ask to be protected. We asked to be respected, and we should be protected inside the ring. So if a ref see is taking too much of a beating, or, you know, they need to be the ones to protect us. The governing body is there to respect us and give us chance at titles.
Shields will have her chance at another title against Mariev Dekaire on March 5th. It will be Shields' first fight in front of her hometown crowd in Flint, Michigan since turning pro. And this summer, Shields is set to make her professional debut in mixed martial arts, a sport where the pay between men and women is more evenly balanced. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Mexican boxing star Saul Canelo Alvarez easily defended his WBA and WBC super middleweight titles over the weekend in Miami, Florida. Canelo stopped Turkish challenger Avni Yildirim in three rounds. Canelo dominated the fight. He dropped Yildirim with a huge right hand in round three, and Yildirim quit after the round. Boxing promoter Eddie Hearn says Canelo will next fight Britain's Billy Joe Saunders on May 8th. Saunders holds the WBO super middleweight title belt. Canelo says he wants to unify the division and make history.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Prince Nesta returns with his look at the weekend highlights in the major European club football leagues. And Prince says he'll be kicking off with an Ivorian footballer who added some scoring firepower for the Gunners of Arsenal. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Ivorian speedster Nicolas Pepe inspired Arsenal to a brilliant 3-1 comeback victory against Leicester, despite Mikel Arteta fielding a weakened side. The visitors fell behind earlier on through Yuri Tillman before David Luiz and Alexandre Lacazette turned the game around. Pepe, born in France to Ivorian parents, added the icing on top of the cake to throw Leicester's Champions League ambitions in doubt. The win ensured the Gunners ended a four-game winless run against Leicester in the Premier League, picking up their first victory against them since October 2018. Here's Arsenal manager's Mikel Arteta's take on the match.
Well, I'm really, really proud of the team. The character that we showed, the personality that we played, how we reacted after a disappointment start again when we conceded the goal really early, because he puts against this team in the worst scenario, because that's the game that they want to have a space to run in behind. But then we look composed, we look confident. The energy and the positiveness around the team was really good, and we created some good moments, scored some good goals, and I think overall we deserve to win.
That's Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta speaking after his team's comeback victory against Leicester. Arsenal move up to 10th, 8 points off the top 4, while the Foxes lie third on the table with 49 points. Manchester United were also held to a 0-0 draw by Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. It was the fifth time United have been held in the 9 Premier League matches since Laguna Social side went top 47 days earlier. The Red Devils remain second in the standings, but City have now been able to extend their lead to 12 points after beating West Ham 2-1. Ruben Dias headed City into the lead, but Mikel Antonio equalized for a spirited Hammers before the break. John Stones then popped up to win it for City. Pep Guardiola's side have now won 20 straight games in all competitions and 14 in a row in the Premier League. Gareth Bale scored twice as Tottenham ran riot against Burnley for a much-needed 4-0 Premier League success following a poor domestic run. Bale gave Spurs the lead after just 68 seconds and then set up Harry Kane for Tottenham's second after 15 minutes before Lucas Moura made it 3-0 before halftime. Bale then claimed his second of the game with a clinical finish after 55 minutes as Tottenham returned to form in the league having lost 5 of their previous 6 games. Spurs manager Jose Mourinho had nothing but praise for Bale, who has now scored 4 goals in his last 4 appearances in all competitions.
He played very well. His condition is very good, and I'm just pleased for the team, because he helped the team to win, and that's the most important thing.
There was Tottenham's boss Jose Mourinho following his team's win over Burnley. A Curtis Jones strike and a Keane Brown own goal gave Liverpool a 2-0 win over bottom side Sheffield United as the stuttering Reds snapped a run of 4 straight Premier League defeats. Tottenham have London derbies in both their next 2 matches, going to Fulham on Thursday and then hosting Crystal Palace on Sunday, while Burnley play at home against Leicester City on Wednesday and then entertain Arsenal on Saturday. Moving on to the French League, French-style of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe scored twice. Second-place Paris Saint-Germain beat bottom side Dijon 4-0. Italian footballer of Ivorian descent Moise Kean, on loan from Everton, slotted in an early opener for Mauricio Pochettino's side before Mbappe scored a penalty and carried home a fine second, his 113th goal for the club. Danilo headed in a late fourth from Julian Draxler's corner, but PSG remained 2 points below league leaders Lille, who secured a 1-1 draw against Strasbourg, thanks to Portugal centre-back José Fonte's late header. They lead the standings with 59 points, 3 ahead of third-place Lyon, who drew 1-1 at Marseille. Lyon took the lead in the 20th minute through Cameroonian forward Karl Toko Ekambi, who swept the ball into the corner after being set up by midfielder Lucas Paqueta, before Poland striker Milik confidently equalized for his second goal in 3 games since joining from Napoli. Down south in Monaco, substitute Stefan Jovetic and striker Kevin Volland hit late goals as fourth-place Monaco beat Brest 2-0 to stretch its unbeaten league run to 12 games and stay in the title chase. French forward of Mauritanian descent Ousmane Dembélé and 6-time Ballon d'Or winner Lionel Messi both recorded their names on the score sheet as Barcelona secured a 2-0 away win over infamed Sevilla to pull within 5 points of La Liga leaders Atletico Madrid, who secured a 2-0 away victory at Villarreal. Atletico, aiming to win the Spanish title for the first time since the 2013-2014 season, went ahead thanks to an own goal from Villarreal's Alfonso Pedraza before João Félix doubled their lead with a low strike in the second half. Real will move above Barcelona and into second if they win at home against Real Sociedad on Monday. And finally, in the Italian league, Inter Milan moved 4 points clear at the top of Serie A as Belgian striker of Congolese descent Romelu Lukaku scored after 32 seconds and bagged an assist in a 3-0 win over mid-table Genoa. The 27-year-old drove through the heart of the visiting defense and fired in his 18th league goal of the season to register his club's second fastest Serie A strike since 2004. Lukaku then teed up Matteo Darmian for Inter's second after 69 minutes and was again involved for their third when his shot was saved but headed in on the rebound by substitute Alexis Sanchez. AC Milan maintained their Serie A title push and moved to within 4 points of rivals Inter with a 2-1 win over Roma at the Stadio Olimpico. Italian footballer of Ivorian descent Frank Kessie's penalty in the 43rd minute gave AC Milan the lead, but Roma got level early in the second half before Rebic scored a classy winner just before the hour. Juventus were also held to a 1-1 draw by Hellas Verona after Cristiano Ronaldo's opener was cancelled out by a towering header from Antonin Barak. The result leaves Juve in third place on 46 points, 3 behind AC Milan and 7 adrift of leaders Inter Milan after 23 games. I'm Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Samson Omale joins us now with a package of African football news.
Whether Club Athletic moved to top of Group C in the Total CAF Champions League with a 4-0 win over Kaizer Chiefs in Ouagadougou, Burkina Faso on Sunday. The victory took the two-time champions to 6 points after their opening day victory over Angola's Petro de Luanda. Chiefs are still winless following an opening day barren draw in Johannesburg against Guinea's Horoya. In Dar es Salaam, Themba Mishishi Zuwane scored a brace as Mamelodi Sundowns beat 10-man CR Belouizdad 5-1 at the National Stadium in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, in their Group B Total African Cup of Nations tie. The victory makes it 2 victories in a row from the 2016 champions, who have now gone to 6 points, opening a 4-point buffer between them and second place TP Mazembe on top of Group B. Staying with football, Ghana and Gambia will face off for the second time at the Total Under 20 African Cup of Nations in Mauritania when the two West African sides clash at the Olympic Stadium in Nouakchott on Monday in the first semi-final. The two teams played against each other in the group stages, where Gambia came from a goal down to beat the Black Satellites 2-1 and earn an automatic spot in the quarterfinals, with Ghana dropping to third but squeezing through as one of the best two third-placed teams. In the second semi-final, the Ugandan Hippos will face Tunisia after the East Africans booked a place in the last four following their 5-3 post-match penalties win over a tough Burkina Faso side. Ugandan defender Kenneth Samakula says they are ready for the Tunisia challenge.
We are well prepared. We are ready for the semi-finals, and we hope for positive results. And we should also thank our fans back home for supporting us.
In women's football, Shilin Boysen, the new head coach of the South Sudan senior women's national team, Bright Satellites, has assumed duties.
My overall vision for the team is much connected to the associations. I have a 2-year contract with the association, and I think long term, I know that the vision is to be the best in the SECAFA region. For now, our first task will be to select the most talented players in the country and build a competitive team from there. We want to gain a FIFA ranking as soon as we can within the 2 years and make sure the players get the best experiences playing at the very highest level for their country.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Chairman Christian Chukwu, former captain of national team Green Eagles, former coach of Super Eagles, former coach of Kenya national team, former coach of Safa of Lebanon. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Now let's go to Ghana, where a visually impaired athlete is hoping to compete in the judo tournament at this year's Paralympics in Tokyo. Yawafusu Larbi joins us now from Accra. Sporty greetings, Yao.
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
You know, this is the first time we, the visually impaired, involve ourselves in this judo team. And this is the first time from Ghana. So I wish I'll take this to the top and raise the name of Ghana high.
This is the wish of visually impaired judoka Nikwe Brown. Ni is 42 years old and has set his sights on becoming Ghana's first gold medalist at the Paralympic Games this year. Judo is categorized as a modern martial arts, which has since evolved into a combat and Olympic sports. At training, Brown uses sounds with numbers to learn what to do.
1, 2.
Brown lost his eyesight when he was 4. As a toddler who was still trying to find his feet, he has had to battle through life's constant impediments until he found judo.
Financial support. Because I train 3 times a week. And the TLO is a 90 cedis to 100 cedis a week. So imagine, in a month, 400. Before, people think, if you are visually impaired or you are a person with disability, you can't do anything. So I'm doing this for people to know that you also can do, you can do something.
Judo's most important feature is its competitive element, where the objective is to either throw or take down an opponent. Ezekiel Nida Akododu has trained Brown for a few months and believes his new client has it.
For me, I would say he's a very determined person, because
He's been into sports already, but just switching to judo. So it's in the blood. Yeah, he loves sports. If financially, government, individuals are assisting, he can get to the Olympic Games.
Brown lives in Nima, a slum community in the Greater Accra region of Ghana. He is determined. Each morning, he struts out of his house and walks through the ghetto alone to the roadside in search of transportation to the Accra Sports Stadium, where he trains.
As I reach here, if I'm looking for a taxi, then I have to tell somebody to stop a taxi for me. But if I want to go by trotro, then I have to walk to the station. As visually impaired, I use a white cane. This is what we call a white cane. So we use this for direction.
At the Commonwealth Games in 2014, judoka Razak Abugri won the bronze medal in the men's minus 60 kg for Ghana, qualifying a visually impaired person to the 2021 Paralympic Games will be a hard feat, but Brown is determined to make the cut, get on the plane, and make Ghana proud in Tokyo. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yao Fusilabi in Accra.
Thanks, Yao. Today, March 1st, is the 60th birthday of the Peace Corps. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to a couple of colleagues, Heather Maxwell and Chelsea Lenore Milko, who are former Peace Corps volunteers. And let's give another Sunny Side of Sports salute to the now retired Jim Malone, a former Voice of America correspondent. And yes, Jim was also a former Peace Corps volunteer. Let's listen in now to this U.S. government editorial on the 60th anniversary of the Peace Corps.
60 years ago today, President John Fitzgerald Kennedy signed an executive order that established the Peace Corps. I'm hopeful that it will be a source of satisfaction to Americans and a contribution to world peace, said President Kennedy during the signing. The Peace Corps is a small independent agency administered by the United States government. Its field workers are volunteers, by and large educators and specialists in agriculture, health, community economics, and youth development. They work to improve the lives of people in underdeveloped or undeserved areas by increasing productivity and encouraging self-reliance. In its own words, the agency's mission is to help the people of interested countries in meeting their need for trained men and women, to help promote a better understanding of Americans on the part of the people served, and to help promote a better understanding of other people on the part of Americans. Indeed, more than anything else, the Peace Corps was designed to foster mutual understanding between Americans and other cultures of the world. Trained volunteers were, and still are, sent to live and work in developing countries around the world, helping the host country meet its need for skilled workers. And because they lived among the local populations, they learned, and still learn, about the people and culture around them. At the same time, the local people, working and living alongside them, get to know Americans as people not much different from themselves. As of June 2019, some 235,000 volunteers have served in 141 countries. Each volunteer serves a two-year period, with no pay except for a stipend to cover their room, board, and a few essential expenses. Their mission has adapted with the times and needs of the people they serve. Today, due to COVID-19 restrictions, no Peace Corps volunteers are stationed abroad. Their work in the field will continue once the pandemic is under control. To me, that's what the Peace Corps is all about, the impact that simple acts of service can have across borders, generations, and time, said President John Kennedy's grandnephew, Joseph Patrick Kennedy III. It's a lesson I carry with me every day.
That was an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.
Happy 60th birthday to the Peace Corps. And that wraps up the March 1st edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.